Thanks for joining us today. At City Life, we have one purpose, making it easy for people to say yes to Jesus. We believe that today's message will empower you to do exactly that. But remember that church is so much more than a sermon you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be part of. We hope to see you this Sunday morning here at City Life.
We're on the subject of money, and today I want to talk about giving is good. And last week, Jen talked about Never Enough, and if you didn't see there was a song that was sung last week. Candace sang a song. It'll be on YouTube or it'll be on the website or some. Just click buttons until you find it. It's there. It's very good. And she talked about three things. It's what do you got? What's got you? And hey, somebody said an awesome message this morning from @MikePrescott18. That's my Instagram hashtag. That's great. These things just come up. So it's just like affirmation on the spot as I talk. It's like if you think I'm suffering a bit, you can affirm me just by taking a picture and saying, Mike, you're okay. You'll make it. So she talked about what do you got? What's got you? And he wants you. And I wonder how many people, she talked about decluttering. So how many actually did some decluttering this last week? You went home and purged a little bit. How many thought about purging after? So at least the motions have started in the brain about purging. It's funny how we collect so much stuff, isn't it? And today I want to talk about giving is good. And Acts chapter 20, these are the words of Jesus. It says it right here. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And I remember hearing a story early in my years of pastoring, hearing a story of this group of kids that was outside. They were playing ball or doing something. And this young man drives up in this beautiful sports car, and he gets out. All these young guys are just like, "Wow, that car is beautiful, man!" And he said, "Thanks. That was my brother gave that to me." And one of the boys, he just says, "Wow, I wish I could be like that." And he says, "The guy says, yeah, you wish you had a brother that would give you a car." He says, "No, I wish I could be a brother that could give somebody a car." And it's like, who's more blessed, the person who got the car or the person who gave the car? The person, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And you know, there's something about in our life that we need to remember. Consuming doesn't satisfy. Consuming doesn't satisfy. How many of you remember the first flat screen TV you ever bought? It's like a holiday on your calendar now. You just have a date. First flat screen TV today. It's like, this is stuff we just don't remember, is it? Why? Because it doesn't satisfy. It doesn't satisfy. And after, it doesn't bring joy to your life for years to come. We think it will. When we go to buy these things, when we think about buying these things, we think that these things will make us happy. But yet, after just a couple years, we're starting to think, as we walk down the aisles at Costco, we start to look at the next model. It's like, wow, that thing's 10 inches bigger, and that's like $500 less than I paid for my last one. And I'll tell you, that trend will never end. That will never end. You know what? Next year, there will be a better TV sitting there, and it'll be cheaper than the one you bought before, and none of it will bring you joy. And but when we give to something that's significant, you know what? That joy never stops. That joy never stops. When you contribute to something that's valuable, the impact of what you have given doesn't stop over time. In fact, many of the things that you'll look back over time, you'll realize that looking back, it's the things that you contributed to that actually are the most valuable things around you. The things that you took time to invest, whether financially or time or abilities, any of those things. 2 Corinthians 9, it says, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. And I just want to lay the foundation for this message. That when we give, it actually ends up resulting in thanksgiving to God in the lives of other people. And let me just stop and give you an example of that. You know, as a church, about 15 years ago, we began to partner with an organization called Compassion, and we began to sponsor children. And the majority of the children that are sponsored in this church are located in the Dominican Republic. And here, about 15 years later, I don't have the totals because I don't have the stats, but we've sponsored like over 200. I think if you were to total with everything changing, I think it's over 250 kids over the years that have been sponsored through here. You know, those gifts, that giving never stops. That life has been changed forever. That the life of those children, the fact that they got to go to school, their lives are changed forever. Like that giving, there's no place where, oh, I really wish I didn't get that kid into school. It's like that stays, that remains significant. Now, you take that same amount of money, it's about $42 a month, I think, to sponsor a child. You take that money and don't do anything with it, and you wouldn't know what happened to it. A year from now, the $42 a month, if you didn't use it for them, it'd be like lattes, McDonald's, ew. It's just a world of regret right there, people. You know, when you look at as a church, we've partnered with A21 and sponsored, which rescues victims of human trafficking. You know, for the people who have been rescued out of human trafficking, their lives are changed. Like, there's never a point where you're going to say, I really wish we didn't rescue so many people. You won't say that. It's when you look at it, you hear the stories, and if you don't hear the stories, you can get signed up on A21 for their newsletters, and they'll begin to email you the stories of the lives of people that have been rescued out of trafficking. You read the stories of these. I was reading one. It was a little boy that had been kidnapped and then taken to another country, and they rescued him, and out of sexual slavery. There's never going to be a point where you're going to say, "Man, that was just a waste of my money to rescue that kid." I mean, there's something wrong with you. Like, just to me say that, there's something, you just feel that, like, that's just wrong to verbalize that, Mike. We know that that's valuable forever. It never loses its value. And that's what giving is. It's when we learn that our giving actually has power, and our giving results in thanksgiving to God, not just today, not just right now, but for generations. It results in thanksgiving. And the same with Heart for the House. As we give to Heart for the House, as we see God's house built, you know, that results, it's not just for today, it's for future generations. As people come in and we see down the road, next year, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, as lives are changed, it's what we gave today made the lives being changed tomorrow possible. It results in thanksgiving to God because of what we've given today. So if giving is good, why don't we give more often? Well, there's three things I want to just say here. These are kind of things that stop us from giving. Is one, because we feel like we don't have enough. And I would blame our media for this. I would blame a lot of you know, the advertising of our age, because it's really geared to making you feel you're insufficient. It's geared that you don't look good enough, you don't dress well enough, your car's not nice enough, your house isn't nice enough, and you don't smell good. Like, that's kind of, like, our whole world is geared towards you're not complete, and you need our products to make you complete. And so it develops a way of thinking, and it really develops us to be consumers rather than to be contributors. And happiness doesn't come from consuming. Happiness or fulfillment comes from the contribution that we make. And what happens is we get trained from a very young age that happiness and significance comes from what we have, but it doesn't. And anything that threatens our accumulation threatens our happiness. And so giving, we don't give because that's taking our ability to accumulate away from us. The second reason we don't give is, well, let me just be honest, the message of giving has been abused. And I remember, I'm just going to, if you're newer to church, you won't really remember this, but there was a day and age in the church where, you know, there were a lot of messages on giving that I would call just not right. And messages like, if you give $100 today, people would stand up and say, the Lord has spoken to me. If you give $100 today, he'll bring it back $1,000 this week to you. And, you know, to be honest, the only person that prospered from that type of message was the person who preached it. Can he say that in church? I can say I'm the boss. I talked to my wife earlier and she said I'm allowed to call myself the boss. You think I jest. So, you know, let me say this. The motivation behind giving can't be to get. If your motivation behind giving is just getting, I think you're going to live in disappointment. The message behind giving is building. We give to build. We give to establish. We give to see things grow in our world that we say, those are valuable and they need to grow. You invest time and money into your relationships because you want them to grow. You invest time and money into the organizations that you're involved with because you want to see them thrive and to grow. And if we want God's kingdom to thrive and grow, we invest into it because that's how it grows. Maybe just the business side of me that's speaking for a moment. And the last reason that we don't give is that we live with an awareness of our lack rather than an awareness of our provision. And a couple of years ago, I talked about in a message, if you make more than $45,000 a year, you're in the top 5% of wage earners in the world. In the world. And so you, but yet if you talk to somebody who makes $45,000 a year, they'll tell you they don't have enough. And why is that? Well, because we live with an awareness of lack all the time. We live with an awareness of what's missing rather than an awareness of what has been provided, of what we have. And, you know, when we live aware with an awareness of lack, we'll never have enough. And we'll remain ignorant of God's blessings in our life. We won't see what's there. And the truth is God has blessed us, and he's blessed us so that we can be a blessing. He's blessed us so that we can do something with that blessing. And when we give, we're blessed. And Jesus says we're more blessed when we give. And when we give, we're not giving $100 so we can get $1,000 back. The fulfillment in the sense of destiny comes from being a contributor to what's important, a contributor to what we value. And you know, Proverbs 11, it's a great verse. It says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger, and the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed, and those who help others are helped. And giving is something that it makes our world bigger. It makes us bigger as people. If giving is good, then as a follower of Jesus, it's something I want to be good at. And so I want to talk today really specifically to those that you would call yourself a follower of Jesus. And I realize that there's people in here, you're not sure yet. You're like, you're checking it out. You're kind of looking and deciding, and that's okay. But I want to specifically talk today to those who you consider yourself a follower of Jesus. And if you're just checking it out, you can sit back and listen. You're going to learn some things today. But I want to challenge us all that giving's important. And giving is, it's not something We don't talk about it every day at church. We don't talk, you know, we're not, I don't talk specifically. We're going to talk in a moment about tithing. And it's something that I think that it's a lot of times not understood. So let's start at the very beginning. Giving 101, tithing. And people come to church to hear this word. Well, what does tithing mean? Well, it's a word that you typically only hear in church. And very simply, the word tithe means is tenth. And it literally means, that's the literal translation of the word tithe is tenth. And it's interesting because it's one of the things that God asks us to trust him with. God actually says, the tithe is mine, and I want you to bring it to me. And we're going to go to a verse here in Malachi chapter 3. It says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you, and I will pour out a blessing so great that you won't have enough room to receive, or enough room to take it in. Try it and put me to the test. And so the tithe is something that it serves a certain purpose. It serves a certain purpose for why God asks us to bring it. And it actually does something specific. And it says right here what it is. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. There will be enough food in my house. And you think, well, it's food? I mean, are we having chicken dinner after church? Like, is that the purpose? That's not the food that this is talking about. The food is what you're doing today. The food is the music team that's up here that leads us in worship. The food is what's going on next door at Voltage and for our kids, and what's going on in the preschool and the nursery and what's going on here during the week. That's the food. It's the food for you. It's the food for your family. It's the food. It's food for people who don't even know we're here yet, who have yet to come. And what you're receiving today is that food. And he's saying, bring the tithe into the house so that there's actually there's provision here for you when you come. So that there's something here for you when you come. And that's what this food is. I think a lot of times too, we look at, you know, I will pour, it says, I will open the windows of heaven for you, and I will pour out a blessing so great that you won't have enough room to take it in. And a lot of times we look at that and say, oh, that's just like finances. And well, I've tithed, and I definitely still had room to take stuff in. How many felt like that? This isn't talking about money coming back to us. This is talking about everything in your life around you. That when God's house is provisioned, when God's house has food for you to help build your life, then what happens is blessing starts to fill your life. And it's not the blessing of, we're not going to hand out checks for $1,000 at the door as you walk out. It's the blessing of encouragement in your relationships, encouragement in your marriage, encouragement to your kids, strength in relationships, the things that as you build over a lifetime. And looking back over a lifetime, I realized that, you know, there's certain things you're really trusting that God will put into your world. And health in your relationships, health in your family, these are things that those are the truest riches of all. It's interesting here, and I think this is maybe one of the most interesting points about this whole passage of Scripture, is this is the only place where God gave us permission to test him. This is the only place in the whole of Scripture where God gives us permission to test him. And he literally just says it right like that. Test me now in this. Test me now in this. And why do you think that God gave us permission to test him in this area? Oh, I know exactly why he gave us permission. Because he knew how we'd react. 10%? Are you nuts? Come on. 10%? Well, you know, our government gets 45 and we still manage to feed ourselves. I trust God with 10% a lot more than I trust our federal government with 45. That's the end of the political comments for now. You just leave them on the Facebook page. What? Do you know what I would have to do to tithe? I would have to rearrange my whole life. Yeah, kind of like you have to do when you decide to get committed to a Connect group. Kind of like you have to do when you say yes to Jesus. Kind of like what you have to do with your whole life. You know, it's a part of the whole. I'm being cheeky, guys. You know, when we decide to fast, that does require some rearranging, doesn't it? Like you have to hide your food. When we decide to get connected into a Connect group, or we decide to get involved with another group, you know what it requires? That we rearrange our schedules. It requires that we make adjustments and changes to our lives. Any area of our life that we wish to follow Jesus requires rearranging. It's an act of faith. It requires that we take ourselves out of a place of self-reliance, and we bring ourselves into a place of God reliance. And the simple act of tithing is, it's really an act of faith saying, God, I trust that you are able to do more with this in my life through ways that I might not readily understand than I can do with it in my hand. And, you know, when we started the church here, we had very, very little. In fact, I look back now at what we earned when we started the church, and I kind of wonder how we made it, actually. Like, I look at our income, and it's like, that's ridiculous that we could live off of that. And we relied a lot on poor vehicles. And, I remember when we came here, we had this little Datsun 510, and it was not good, though. It was a white Datsun. I'm dating myself when I say Datsun because half the room doesn't even know what a Datsun is. But it was, we nicknamed it the Beirut Bomb because it was white, but it had all these rust spots in it that looked like bullet holes. So it kind of looked like, you know, it could blow up at any moment and take a few people out. Like, that was kind of how it looked. And I remember as we didn't trust it to drive to Red Deer and go to staff meetings. It's like we didn't trust it to even get there. Like, it was an act of faith every time you got in the thing and went somewhere. And, you know, of all the people who could really justify not tithing, we would qualify. I mean, we've given our whole life to serve God. We're giving everything we have to build the church. And tithing is kind of redundant, isn't it? It's like, okay, well, I'm going to pay tithes, and then the church is going to pay them back to me, and then I'm going to pay those back to the church. And it's like, we're just making an endless circle here. Why don't I just hold on to it? I mean, it's just creating paperwork. And I'm building the church anyways. And you know, it was one of the things that we just decided we're gonna do this. And as we're driving this junker, it'd be really easy to justify, you know what, we just need to put the tithe into a vehicle for a few months until we have a vehicle that's reliable, because we can't even do God's work without a vehicle. And I remember as we were praying for a new vehicle, and the administrator, the financial administrator in Red Deer at the Word of Life Center at the time, called us into his office and sat us down. And he said, you know, my wife and I have been praying for you guys, and we really admire what you are doing. And God spoke to us that we are to give you our car. And I thought, yeah, great. Somebody's going to give us another Datsun, or, you know, because I'd already received like two really crappy vehicles that cost me more money than just walking would have. And I was getting a little skeptical of gifts at this point. And then he hands me the keys to his Honda Prelude, which was about 3 years old at the time. And it's like that's a nice car. It was at the time, it was a nice car. And, you know, would have somebody given us a car if we hadn't tithed? I don't know the answer to that question because I never walked that path. I decided to trust God. We decided to trust God in a hard place. And, you know, our bills were always met. We ended up buying another car. And when we sold that, which was another story in itself, we got a car for about one third of what the car was worth, was sold to us. And then we ended up selling the Prelude, and the Prelude actually ended up becoming the down payment on our first house. It's just like the provision just kept going off of that. And, you know, when we gave, it wasn't for that, but we've watched God over the years. As we give, God's just been faithful at every step. It doesn't mean it hasn't been without hardship. It doesn't mean it hasn't been, that it's been easy at every step. There's been challenges at every stage. But that's one of the things he says, test me in this. Test me in this. And I think he had to tell us that because we don't want to test him in that. We just want to rely on ourselves. The second thing, when it comes to giving, so the first thing is tithing. The second thing is plan our generosity. And this is so important because what gets planned gets done. We know this in our home, don't we? We think we really need to clean out that closet. But until you plan to actually clean out that closet stays the way it is. And what we plan gets done. And as I was preparing for this, I just did some quick calculations over the years. We're thinking about 15 years now that we've kind of been partnering with Compassion. You think it's about that long? It's got to be that long because we sponsored our first children when Kaylin was like five. So it would have been right around there. And just as a church, I just did some quick calculations, and I realized, you know, as a church, because this doesn't go through the church, this is something we've encouraged you to sign up for and be a part of, that we realized, that over the last 15 years, City Life has given over $1 million to Compassion. And that's, you can clap for that if you want. I think that's better than saying we bought 2,500 big screen TVs. A little more significant too. You know, the impact of that is it's profound because that's a lot of lives that have been changed through giving. And I remember when we started to partner with this, I was a bit concerned because we did this at a time the church was quite challenged financially. And we encouraged people to give, encouraged people to sponsor. My fear, because I'm a numbers guy, and I'm not always Mr. Faith and Forward. I'm sometimes Mr. This is what the books say. Look at them. And I remember being very concerned that if we give away that kind of money, we encourage people to give away that kind of money, like the church is going to have to pay for that because people only give so much. And I remember thinking, you know, our giving could go down substantially when people are giving that much money away. You know what's interesting is the giving, after we encouraged people to get involved with that, giving started going up in the church and up, and it never went back down to those levels ever again in the church. And we started to, it actually became a time where we started to surplus in some budgets, and began to be able to set aside extra money for the future. And I believe it actually became one of the turning points in the church. And the third thing about giving is start right now. Start right now. What gets planned gets done, and then you got to start your plan. And let me jump back to that last point. Without that plan, none of that money would have been given. Without that plan, today it's got to be like around or over $1 million. But it was because there was a plan. Without a plan, that would have been a lot of lattes. Because we would have just all taken that money on our own and just bought like a new t-shirt or some new skinny jeans. Or, well, maybe you're not going to buy skinny jeans, but my family's trying to keep me cool, so... But the thing, the whole point, without a plan, it just turns into nothing. But with the plan, the thanksgiving that will be given to God for those hundreds of children that have been educated now, that have received what compassion can give, like, that doesn't stop. The impact of that never stops. So the third thing is give right now. Start right now. You know, if it's more blessed to give than to receive, why would I wait to be blessed? And, you know, there's this principle in the Bible. It's kind of used interchangeably with tithing. It's called first fruits. And it's basically, it's really simple. It means put what's important first. If God's house is important, put it first. Get it at the front. If God is important, put him first. And it's basically not giving out of our leftovers. It's giving out of our intentions. It's being intentional in what we give. It's not just, hey, I got a couple extra cake gift cards. I'm going to toss them in the... That's leftovers. You know, to take some clothing and throw it into the bin. It's like, that's not giving... That's not being intentional about giving well. That's just giving what really we don't care about. And it's important because giving also guards where our heart goes. And giving is a way of protecting what we call valuable, but also protecting where our heart is invested. And Matthew chapter 6, it says, don't store up treasures. Don't store up Trevors. Trevor. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves don't break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, the desires of your heart will also be. Wherever your treasure is. You know what's interesting is you can spend a lifetime trying to accumulate wealth on this planet and the government can sweep in and take it in one term. Literally, there's nothing sure on this planet, but I'll tell you what's built into the lives of people can't be taken away. It doesn't go away. It stays established. So, and that's really what this is about. It's about the heart. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's so important. Part of protecting our own life is making sure we're careful where we put our heart. We're careful where our heart gets invested into. Let's stand up. You know, that this all starts with the heart. And this starts with where our heart is in really in relationship to Jesus and really in relationship to our walk with God. And the way we, you know... What I've talked about giving, it doesn't really mean anything if our hearts aren't in the right place. And so I want to start by praying here today, and it's a prayer saying yes to Jesus. It's a prayer saying yes to following him. And if you're here today and you're saying, you know what, it's time to pray that prayer. It's time to say yes to him. I'd invite you to join us as we pray together. So let's pray together. Jesus, I say yes to you. I want to follow you. I want you to hold my heart. Would you come into my life? Forgive me of my sin. Give me a new start. And give me a new heart. I want to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome, you guys.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor as a church to play just a small part in what God is doing in your life. And we look forward to seeing you soon here at City Life.